Live from Kakariko Village. Broadcast throughout the Retroverse, transmitted to the real world via a maze of wires connecting the Super Nintendo to a Wii, to a Wi-Fi network, and finally to the Internet. The Techno Funk Boy presents the Retro Zoo Super Show. Here are your hosts, Kai and Steven.
All right, so welcome to the Retro Zoo Super Show. I am one of your hosts, Kai.
And I'm Steven.
And we actually have a couple of guests with us today. Hello, guests.
Hello.
Oh, is this where we talk?
If you want, yeah.
I'm going to write everything down, if that's okay, like on my whiteboard over here.
Yeah, sure. That'd be fine. That's good radio. Oh, goodness. So we have Danny and Peyton from the Roll Initiative webcomic. And we're going to be talking a little bit about that today and just in general, some Dungeons & Dragons stuff, because every so often we have to dive back into the tabletop role play because it's fun. So normally about this time of the episode we would actually talk about like what video games we've been playing lately, but since this is a tabletop episode, why don't we hit a little bit about what we're playing in the grand world of RPGs.
Can I go first?
Sure.
Okay. Since you're my dungeon master. So yeah, we've been playing Star Wars: Edge of the Empire recently, and I am a Wookiee pirate captain of the pirate ship Le.
A hairless Wookiee.
A hairless Wookiee. I was born with I have a birth defect, and I was born without any hair, and I was cast out of the tribe by my family because I was too hideous to behold. But I was picked up by some Ewoks and raised as a circus sideshow freak on Coruscant.
You know what I picture is one of those hairless cats that's like 6 feet tall.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
That's exactly what I look like. Yeah. So, but I got jilted by the Ewoks and by my Wookiee family. And so I've just turned to a life of piracy. So now I command the pirate ship. It's a YT freighter called the Ula. Mm-hmm. And we just steal stuff and do missions and basically are pirates. But Kai here is our dungeon master, and we've been having a really good time. Right now we're in the middle of kind of a tight spot. We some of our contacts turned on us and started calling in bounties. We're on our heads, so our last campaign was up against a wall here. We got one of my old friends who I thought was my friend turned out to betray me, and then
he landoed you.
He landoed me. He landoed me. It was pretty bad.
So what's great about this, the last time we played, I don't know which one of y'all runs like the Facebook page, but whichever one of you does, like posted that very day, like what are y'all playing this weekend or today or something like that. And so I was trying to get y'all to like put in some ideas to torture Steven. Like I didn't tell y'all that, you know, because he he is a patron of the comic and all. But I was just like, hey, y'all have any ideas? We're going to be busting into an Imperial base. Y'all have any ideas to torture the players? And y'all didn't bite. I was really hoping to be able to come back to you. And it's like, y'all killed off your friend.
It's a pretty dickish DM. Not saying anything. I survived the couple encounters that he ran, but he's pretty devious.
I remember that post, and that was Danny that did that one.
Yeah.
I can't remember why I didn't answer more devious, but I'd stay kind of PC on the Facebook page.
Yeah, that's fair.
Very.
I will keep trying to tempt y'all to now I'm running a separate game where I'm taking the old first edition Dragonlance original Dragonlance modules and kind of resetting them into fifth edition.
That's what Kinders, huh?
What's that?
They have Kinders in there. Literally, like the Halflings without fear. Yeah, they're badass.
What are they called? Kinders?
Kinders. Okay, yeah, Kinders are unique to Dragonlance, and they are really, really cool. So first of all, their society, they don't have any concept of personal property. So they're kleptomaniacs just because that's the way their society runs. It's just like if you see something that you think you need, you just grab it. That's not a thing in their culture. And so when they get out in the real world, they just end up with like just grabbing things and not thinking about it.
So every rogue that's ever been in any of my campaigns has been a Kinder, apparently.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. It's like people who play rogues do this, but Dragonlance actually put a reason behind it, which is why I really like it. But they are like literally immune from fear. Magical fear doesn't matter. They are immune. And so they face dragons and they'll go, oh, cool. I'm going to go say hi. And they just stroll on up. And so we do have a Kinder in our party, and it was actually her first time playing Dungeons and Dragons at all. And she tackled a Kinder the first go round, and she did amazing. And so I'm really pumped about that game as well.
Sweet. Yeah, what are y'all playing?
I was playing D&D and Gloom.
Mm-hmm.
Since the birth, I haven't been able to play much.
Yeah, we didn't mention this on air, but yeah, you have a little one. And by little one, we mean very little one.
2 days. 2 days old.
Yeah.
Whoa!
Well, it's crazy. It's new, but it ain't little. What is it, like 18
pounds? 9 pounds.
Oh, like, yeah.
Like, we gave birth to a tank.
That's like a gallon of milk.
Because he's playing. He's not playing the healer. There's no way. He's going to be a tank.
He's going to be a tank. He's going to absorb all the... combat damage.
The D&D game we were doing, I was running it, and I had my players. They were all the chosen one of a prophecy. So in separate games, I had NPCs walk up and say they were devoting their life to the PC, and it was because of this prophecy. So then the next game, another NPC would walk up to a different PC and say the exact same thing.
That's great.
So they all had followers, and eventually there's Roman groups of NPCs that were starting to like carry their colors, like gangs. And we got up to where there was like churches that were starting to pop up.
Oh wow, that's so good.
And I hope none of my players are listening, but what I was gonna do was eventually get it where it was countries that were taking sides.
Oh,
dang!
And just started an all-out war where none of them were actually the chosen one.
Oh, nice.
Okay. That'd be really realistic.
Yeah, so unless they stopped all the followers and stuff, there was just going to be a huge war.
Oh, that's an interesting perspective, actually. So, like, it's because it plays on your desire to like have followers. Oh, I'm being followed. But then, like, wait a second. Like, at a certain point, you've got to know that this is going to cause the end of the world.
Exactly.
Don't stop him. That's awesome, bro.
It was so much fun. Because the groups were reflections of whatever the PC was. So if it was rogue, then the game was a rogue.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
That's so you're cool. Still playing that? That's just on pause right now?
Yeah, it's on pause till
things settle. Your players really shouldn't listen to this episode.
No, they shouldn't.
Could you ask them to download it and then delete it? Because as long as we get the download, then it counts.
We're looking for downloads.
Right. Yes.
Next time at your player's house, just log on and download it and then just delete it.
Well, what I'll do is once we finish the campaign, I'll say, okay, now go back and download that episode.
It's the whole backstory.
Extra kick in the ass. It's like, oh, we put it out there.
So you guys don't play together, Danny and Peyton? Y'all don't play D&D, or are you a player, Peyton, in Danny's games?
No, I wish I could. We are about 6 hours away from each other.
Oh, I thought you were in Louisiana.
Peyton, no, you're in Austin, right?
Yeah, I'm in Austin.
Oh, dang, okay.
But so Peyton was my very first DM, like, long time ago in like high school or something.
It was actually
with this character Declan Marquez, long time ago, Paladin.
Yeah, long time ago.
Yeah,
that's awesome. So there's a bunch of history here. Okay, that's really cool.
That was the first time I ever heard about it, saw it or anything. I was like, this is crazy. Spent like 4 hours making a character, drew a picture of him. I was like, hell yeah! And we played for about probably a good 30 minutes. And they were like, well, all right, that's it for today. And I think that was the last time I played for a long time. But it planted that seed, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's actually one of the addicting things about Dungeons & Dragons is for those of us who like really, really enjoy creating characters, it's dangerous. I was sitting on Hero Forge. Assuming I've seen Hero Forge. I was just making a female elf cleric for just no reason at all. It's like, besides like the Dice and Dreary podcast, which I'm on, I'm not a player in any campaign. I'm normally the DM.
Yeah.
I'm just creating a, you know, this she elf cleric. And it's like, oh, this girl is so awesome. You know? Right. Yeah. And then I'm like, okay, she's done. I'll just close the window.
I'm running a 5e. It's a pretty like it's so it's campaign is on its third year right now, but I got like six players and they started off as good and they still have good characters, but then I was like, okay, I want y'all to get a taste for what it's like to be evil. So then they made some evil characters. So then about a year later I was like, well, let's make some neutral characters. So at this point I was like, oh, this is gonna be crazy, because they're at one point they're all gonna meet up. And it's going to be awesome. And they're going to, I'm just going to sit back and watch them do what they got to do. Cause like the good are fighting for good and the evil are fighting, you know, to bring the shadow on and all kinds of stuff. And well,
right.
Last session after 3 years, it finally happened. It was awesome. And, Paul, one of the people that plays, he had like three characters. He had all his characters that just so happened that they were all, they all rolled initiative, and they were in it. It was crazy. So I just sat back and drank and watched them.
So how did his bard fare? He was toting his bard at the Renaissance Festival.
His bard is trying to ascend, basically. Wants to be the new Raven Queen, and he's close, or she's his character's close, but he ain't there yet. But his dwarf is a cleric, and he got turned to stone. But it like Morden or Dumathon did it to him. Like it was either that or you're gonna die. And then his good dwarf used a wish from his luck blade to turn his bad character good. And at the time, two things: one, it sounded perfect. Like it really seemed like with the character would do. And also, we were pretty drunk at that point of the night. So he was like acting it out. He like kneeled down with the luck blade. He was like, "I shall set your soul free." Blah blah blah. It was awesome.
I could see him doing that, dude. I could totally see him doing that.
But yeah. Oh, but that's where we're at. Hopefully this campaign's over soon, just because I want to kill them all, or at least half of them. You know, that's why I was like, "All right, I get to kill half of y'all."
So what, how did that end up? How did it end? Like, with the luck, like his character becoming good.
Oh, a lot of crazy stuff happened because there's this bubble and they couldn't go through it. But one of the characters a long time ago got turned possessed and turned to the bad side. Their druid. Well, he fought it off for a second and used something. But anyway, he meant to bring Paul's good character and another good character through. But instead, he said, "I run over and I grab him and him." And I was like, "They're standing next to each other?" And he was like, "Yeah." So he grabbed him. Well, he accidentally grabbed one of Paul's bad characters. So he pulled it through and left the good character out there. Needless to say, it was crazy.
Was it a lot of bloodshed?
Not a lot. Not a lot. A lot of healing going on. First time that Paul has ever healed with this cleric, and it was all to him, and it was hilarious.
Oh, that's awesome.
Everybody else is like, "You can heal?
You can heal? You're a cleric?" That's awesome. Yeah, oh, that's really cool. I've seen on Facebook, I've seen some of your terrains and the builds you do, like the minis and stuff, and
yeah, I went real deep for about a year, horde, like, didn't come out. I just made a whole world out of, like, styrofoam and, like, sawdust. It was consuming. But now I got a whole world that I can just play in.
And I'm trying
to back away a little bit. I'm like, all right, I don't need to make nothing today. I'm like, ooh, some more trees.
You never have too many trees. So do you use those? I mean, that's like a you whenever you play, you always use the your terrain and everything.
Yeah, just I like it because I remember where stuff's at, you know, like, oh yeah, I forgot. And I put like little rings off of a milk cap, the little red ones. Mm-hmm. You know, like when you pull the milk off, you get that little plastic ring. That's for like if they're bloodied, I'll put that on there and be like, "Well, you about to die next time, so that way I won't forget, you know."
You won't forget to kill them.
Yeah. So I try to make it look, see, that's what it's all about. I just got to keep track of who I'm going to murder, pretty much.
Right. Nice. Yes, that is the job of the DM. So what kind of weird crap can we throw at these people, and who's going to die because of it?
So they're also high level now. It's like, well, here comes Loth. They're like, what?
See, I make villains out of a DC and Marvel characters. Oh, so yeah. I had Poison Ivy as a demented droid that was messing with them. And
oh, that's a cool idea. Yeah,
I had a bone golem named Solomon Grundy.
Ah, yes.
Awesome. There was a lich that was messing with them, and that was Darkseid. I did the Avengers as a adventure group, and they needed help, you know, messing with Darkseid. So I had Darkseid just kill all the Avengers. He just powered kill all of them.
Wow.
And my characters were terrified. Which is what I wanted. I wanted them to be just scared and running.
And then they never showed up again.
Yeah. Right. They had friended me on Facebook. And,
I got to go take care of my grandma.
My cat's real sick. My cat is my grandma.
And now, you know, that game's on pause because that was like the other storyline that was going in the whole prophecy thing.
That's awesome.
Oh, wow. That's really cool.
So tell us about Roll Initiative. So how did this is definitely a Dungeons and Dragons themed, or it is Dungeons and Dragons comic. Or
yeah.
I don't know if it's officially Dungeons and Dragons because you're not, you know, but you're definitely pulling it's on the like mythos.
In that episode of The Simpsons when it's basically The Shining and he's like, "It's The Shining, boy. You
want to
get sued?"
Yeah. I love that episode.
Let's not get sued. It is not officially a D&D comic.
It is not officially, yeah. And it doesn't say anywhere in it about anything about D&D. Mm. So,
I mean, now, if there happened to be some sort of catacombs and creatures, you know, something like that, I could see that.
And I'm, And I'm going to mention Ensnaring Strike later, but we'll call it Ensnaring Like. I don't know.
We do have a Misplacer Beast.
Okay. Yeah. Misplacer.
Misplacer Beast. That's great.
But yeah, it's basically playing a tabletop game in a fantasy setting. I've always loved fantasy, like Legend and Willow, and you know, all the, you know, the famous, like,
the good stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Like the fantasy tropes and stuff like that. But I just wanted to have a fun little story, and I wrote up just the first page, and I was like, well, it's just dwarf that gets captured, and then he's got friends out there, and then that's it. Kind of do it medias res, you know, where it starts in the middle, and then just figure it out as you go. And that's kind of just how it started. I was doing a page a day, and I think I was about maybe a page or two in, and I put on Facebook, like, I took a picture with my phone, because I don't understand technology very well. So I took a picture with my phone, because that's what I can understand, and I put on Facebook, and I did, like, super terrible, I don't know, whatever comes with the phone, like, to make bubble word bubbles and, like, try to, like, letter, like a Cro-Mag. Yeah. Well, yeah. I put it on there. And then it was like 4.5 hours later or so, because I finished another page, and I was like, this could be fun. I was like, but I got to make it to where it don't look like shit. So I put on there, I was like, I'm looking for a letterer. And people were like, oh, or how to letter or something like that. And then probably like 5 hours or so later, I texted Peyton or messaged him, and I was like, hey, man. And it was something along the lines of, you told me, Peyton told me, a time, and I was like, I don't know what that is. And you were like, that's how long it took for you after you posted that to when you asked me or something, basically. And I was like, and I think you already had like the first page colored, and I was like, holy shit.
I was waiting on it.
So it was like a match.
Yeah, I knew it was coming. Like I saw it, I knew it was coming, so I just got the page ready.
You did it in the meantime?
Yeah.
That's awesome. So
yeah, like, all right. And then after that, once Peyton was on board, I was like, let's do this thing. So my wife, she has a Patreon, and I was like, well, let's try a Patreon, because that's good. You know, if we're going to be doing a certain number of pages a week, you know, then we can have the content for it, you know. And then Peyton kept sending me his colored stuff, and I was like, holy crap, this is real. Like, I see my drawings all the time, because I draw all the time. And right now they're just like, I was like, okay, it all looks like crap. Also, the reason, like, Peyton has been a, like, he didn't probably, I told him this one night when I was drunk, but I was like, Peyton, you've been a huge influence on me my entire life. Because, like, literally every drawing that I would, we grew up in the same hometown, small, Peyton was an artist too. But every time I'd show him something, he'd always have that, like, okay, like, show me the good stuff. And I was showing him the best stuff I had. But now every time I draw something, I'm like, Peyton would hate this about it. So then I would fix it.
That's great.
So he's really helped me a lot along the way. But yes,
because for years and years, Danny would not draw backgrounds.
Well, it took too long.
It made me so angry. So every time he would show me a picture, I'd be like, that's great. Where are they? You said holding a white space, man. Come on.
Well, I think I even remember that from Dead Reckoning. I remember,
yeah,
you know, Danny, one of your first comic, or one of your early comics. It was really cool, but I remember that, like, versus what you're doing now, there's so much more depth to Roll Initiative versus Dead Reckoning. It seems like there's a lot more going on. It seems like I'm an actual comic, whereas Dead Reckoning seemed like a proto.
There's a reason for that.
Yeah,
100%. Because otherwise, it'd be floating around everywhere
in the ether.
They would always be in a blizzard.
Yeah. Oh, they're in the same blizzard.
Well, I like to keep it open ended, you know, so that way the reader could put them wherever they saw, you know. I didn't want to
put them. There you go. There you go.
That sounds good. I'm an art major. I can make it sound right.
No, I just want to insert here that I first met Danny in college, and I told him this story at the Renaissance Festival, and he's like, I don't even remember it, and it kind of made me sad. But like,
I'll preface by saying I have a terrible memory. Continue.
Okay. Danny has a terrible memory, but when we were in, we had a history class together and, or something. And I remember like talking with Danny and he seemed like a interesting fella. And like, we hadn't even like, we got past like the basic, hey, how are you? You know, or, I don't remember what we were even talking about, but all of a sudden he like whips out this notebook and it's full of characters. And he starts telling me about all these characters. And I'm like, this guy is super awesome. This is like, I think I'm like 19 years old. So that was actually quite a long time ago.
I've been drawing a lot. I just don't have a social life. So it really, really helps.
That helps. Right. Yeah. that probably helps. So, but no, it's really cool to see from then, you know, to now. It's like, I really feel like, yeah, I'm a huge supporter of Roll Initiative. I love it. And
we appreciate it. Yeah. Patreon has been pretty nice because it is a little bit of, like, before we even had it finished, we were actually able to get a little bit of income from it, which is, you know, unheard of when you're doing a comic book because you usually have to print it out and get the fees for that. And it's a big process. But yeah, Patreon's been awesome. We appreciate you coming on there with that.
Well, no, I mean, it's not even just like the Patreon aspect of it. Like, I support the vision. Like, I'm just like, it's kind of the same reason I support the Retro Zoo Super Show. You know, it's like the show that Paul here is doing, or Kai. I'm sorry, you can cut that. but the show that Kai, yeah, okay. Anyway, I'm way out of character here. But like, I just like, I love it when people take initiative and like do something cool. And
oh.
Yeah, I dropped the initiative in there. Yeah, I love it when people roll initiative, so to speak.
Wow.
And I'm being really like a fanboy, but I do. It's inspiring. It's encouraging. It's like I feel like I don't know. It just gives flavor to life. So
my thing with it is, and I hope it is with Peyton too, because it ain't about the money, but it's to just have fun with it. Like, I'm at a point right now where I want to do these next pages, which is awesome. I was in pretty huge slump, but this is like the fun thing that's the first thing I think of when I get out of bed. I'm like, ooh, I get to do this page. I get to make this character. And like, hopefully it's like that with Peyton too, because then it becomes something more than just like a series of drawings or some really pretty colors, you know?
Yeah, my approach to it has always been, what would World of Warcraft do for the colors? Because I always feel like that game, someone took a bag of Skittles and just threw it at the screen.
Yeah.
So
yeah, no. I it's a beautiful. It's a beautiful game.
It is.
I mean, it, yeah.
I love the color combinations. Yeah. So every page, that's my thought process. What would World of Warcraft do? And it makes it so much more fun for me when I'm doing that. On top of, Danny doesn't tell me how to color. Like, we kind of stay in our lanes.
Yeah.
Well, because, like, you'll send me a page of, oh, like the Cyril page, where it's like his flashback. And I was like, oh my God, that's awesome. It was all like green and shit. And I was like, that's awesome. Like, would not
have. You didn't even imagine that would, like, yeah, it came
totally
out.
He set a crazy tone for it. And I was like, perfect. Yeah, and he catches up on. Like, Peyton will catch on all those little, like, hints and stuff, and, yeah. It's always, like, a treat whenever I see, like, Peyton has sent a photo in Facebook Messenger. I'm like, oh, yeah! And then he sent me a picture of his kid today. I'm like, give me some pages, man.
You're like, color your kid in.
Yeah, that's... So how long, Peyton, before you think your little one's going to be able to do your flats?
Man, he's going to do them real quick. I'm going to teach him that before his alphabet.
This is the color wheel. This is the selector.
I was telling him that today. I was like, I can't wait to teach you how to color. And I mean real color. Like, why are you picking red instead of blue?
Awesome.
I'm going to teach him, you know, things like hue and saturation so that he sounds really smart when he's in kindergarten.
Like, I really like how the hue rolls off my tongue with the cerulean. You know, it's got a nice... Right, like, stop eating them.
That's awesome.
Yeah, he's going to be real popular amongst his friends, you know. Well, I'm not sure about this color choice. You know, you have a real conflict.
You're not even trying anymore.
You didn't draw a background.
Yeah. Are these characters floating in the ether? At least add some stars behind them.
Oh, God.
Oh, man.
Their last battle against the undead did not go very well, and our three heroes, a blind and cursed falconer, a gnome gunslinger, and a hunted adventuress, are on the run when they happen upon a town being ravished by a vampire. Now they must turn defeat into victory, or doom the people of the village to certain death, or worse. The Hallowing of Ground by Paul Lytle is a horror adventure novel based on the characters from the Dice and Dreary podcast. Here you will find a frantic hunt for a foe that is both cunning and strong. The Hallowing of Ground can be found in paperback and Kindle, both from Amazon. Hey Drum, did you know that the Techno Funk Boy isn't just a group of podcast hosts that live inside a Super Nintendo?
Really?
That's right, we're also a band.
Tell me more.
We're a retro gaming-inspired band that plays covers of classic video game themes, original game music, and other music in the style of classic games.
That sounds great.
Yeah, and you can find our first full-length album on iTunes, Amazon, and CD Baby. It's called The Final Fantasy Mixes, and it's an EDM tribute to some of Uematsu's best musical themes. Check the episode notes for links or go to Techno Funk Boy to learn more.
Techno Funk Boy sounds like the greatest band that has ever existed.
I programmed him to say that.
I do have to mention one part in the in the first issue. And this harkens back to the actual play podcast that I'm on, Dice and Dreary, where I play a ranger. And I was very, very excited when I got the ensnaring strike spell, and I used it very, very often, and it never sticks on anything.
No,
and
it's terrible.
And so like this happens, not giving too much away, but this happens in your comic.
Yeah.
And it wraps around the bad guy, and I'm like looking at him like this is total baloney. That spell does not work. Next frame, he breaks out of it. I'm like, oh no, this is exactly how that spell works.
Yeah, because you imagine it like you're a ranger, like, okay, when you're picking that, like, you're like, oh, I get this spell, that's cool. Like, I'm gonna use that all the time. And then use it like four times, you're like, well, Hill of Thorns, here we go.
Yes.
I loved those two pages. Loved coloring them. Because the demon was red and the spell was green. I was like, man, Danny could not have set that up better for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that whole dungeon scene.
I'm trying so hard to think of what page that was. I can't even remember.
It's the one.
I can describe it, but I don't want to give it away.
Oh, yeah. I'll go look it up later.
It's
here, I'll send it to you in Facebook real quick.
I'm gonna look at it right now.
See, I'll send you pages.
But yeah, the first issue, it was a learning experience because I jumped into it way too fast. Well, just not jumped. I didn't think it was gonna be a thing, and then it just kind of turned into a thing. So the problem is, once you finish the page, it's finished. Like every time you look back, I'm always like, they're all garbage. But I learned a lot by doing. Usually, when I do a comic book, I'll draw the crap out of these characters, so I just know what they look like and their mannerisms reflect their, you know, their posture, their facial expressions, and stuff like that. But I didn't really do that. I was kind of learning as I went. So the first issue is kind of a standalone. Like it doesn't really reflect much of the main, because there is a main. We haven't got there yet, but there is going to be a main overarching story. And it's going to be episodic in nature, but all driven by one thing. And so in the second issue, that's where you kind of start to get a bit more information about the characters, their backstories, stuff like that. Which the first issue is great because I got to learn about them and ask the questions about what makes them and where they're from and why they met up and stuff like that. So I've had plenty of time. So now all those questions are answered. I got the basic outline of what's going to happen, and I'm excited. Like, it's where they're going to go. I'm excited to go there with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. No, the first, you only have that first page up, right? For the book two.
Yes. And currently one up.
The second page.
Yeah. The second page should be up.
Yeah. It's up.
I'm only seeing the first page for some reason, frustratingly, but it's probably just,
and then the Patreon, you're a,
oh, I got you.
Here. So you get to see a page.
She takes the path and everything. Oh,
the
yeah.
colors, that one. I drew that one with the hopes that Peyton was going to, no pun intended, but blow it out of the water. And he totally did. And it, yeah. I was super pumped. Like, ooh, all these soft light sources. Like, ooh, have fun, Peyton.
Well, I love Peyton how.
Was probably actually like, I hate you, Danny. All these light sources are so soft.
Is it more difficult the more light sources you have?
No, I was begging him for light sources. Because in the first issue, when they're going down that cave, there was no light. Where no light.
Well, I was like, hey, they all have dark vision, so yeah,
and I and said, well, you were like the reader doesn't.
Yeah. Would have made my job a lot easier.
Oh, I got to tell you all this story because when I was right out of college, R.A. Salvatore was in town.
Wait, so I went who? To R.A. Salvatore? Never heard of the guy.
Yeah, no, he's a no name.
Yeah.
I seem to remember. Was it you posting reading Crystal Shard?
Oh yeah, I'm reading it to my little girl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I went to go see him and he starts in and he's like, and I did not expect this to go the way it did. But he was like, I really don't understand why Hollywood hasn't picked up Homelands yet. And for if listeners have not read this book, Homelands is about the drow underworld. And he goes, you know, he's like, there's a lot of plot, there's a lot of action, and it all happens in the pitch dark underground, so you don't have to spend that much money on sets.
They do everything infrared.
Right. Oh gosh, so
clear.
But I did want to ask you. Could you tell us a little bit about the character, the main characters themselves?
Yeah. So there's Essen Windborn. She's a wizard, an elf, and you find out she has a history that connects them. They all have a reason to be together. See, that's the kind of the hardest part when you start a campaign. You're like, all right, why do y'all know each other? They're all like at first. Two sessions are people fighting. So we've kind of gotten past that, but there's a reason. And then there's Cyril Silvertoes. He's a ranger, a halfling. He's not as lucky as he thinks he is, although he's pretty lucky sometimes. And he's got a Misplacer beast, Misplacer kitty.
The Misplacer kitty's great.
little buddy found along the way. And then there's a Slate. He's a grumbly dwarf, but there's definitely a lot more to Slate than he leads on. So you kind of get the stereotypical dwarf from Slate, but he's got a past.
Well, and you've revealed some of that to the Patreon, right? Like I've on the Patreon thing where you could see some of their backstory sketches that you've done. There's some really cool like insight into what happened to Slate, you know, prior to this quest. And also same thing with Cyril and Essen. Like they all have this kind of cool little, like it's like a page or so, but they're,
yeah, it's like a one shot little,
it's a one shot little behind the scenes. Like where are these people coming from? I really enjoyed those.
Yeah. I need to do some more of those. Oh, I finished. Well, I hadn't yet should finish the last page of the second issue tonight. So I want to start doing some more of those fun little snippets, really, you know, push the digital side of the Patreon a lot. And, but now it's just kind of a waiting game to get the pages out. Peyton knew obviously that there's a baby coming. So he cranked out some pages and they look awesome. So we got a bit of a cushion, to get it through. Yeah.
So tell us about the Kickstarter too. Like what is that? When you mentioned that, I think on your KPLC interview that I watched.
Dude, that was a train wreck. That was so bad.
That was so great, dude. No, it was awesome, dude.
Man, live TV, tell you what. not a fan.
I enjoyed it.
Usually they have me behind that little counter thing, and every time I'm there, I'm like, I didn't even need to bring pants, but I wore them. Thank God this time, because they didn't have me in front of that little podium thing. So
you should have just climbed behind it.
Heard it. But yeah, the Kickstarter. Sorry, we're gonna try to put it out in February, March ish. You know, we're gonna try to get the first two issues printed up, and we're gonna have some fun tiers, like some creature stats or stuff that they've fought. Maybe kind of make each issue a module to where you could have character stats, and you could actually play as the characters and stuff like that.
Oh, that's a great idea. That's really cool.
That is cool. Yeah,
and like customize your I draw. Me and Peyton recently did like 8 character designs for this Facebook group, so we could advertise for Roll Initiative on there. And
damn near killed my eyeballs this weekend doing it.
you were like, okay, I'll do them, and then you did them, and they were done, and it was so much, and they looked so rad, and I was like, God, Peyton,
wait. Was that the one that was like almost like the spectrum, like the rainbow, like it had all the different colors of behind each
people all in a row. Yeah,
that was rad.
Because like I'm fairly quick when it comes to drawing, and then I give it to Peyton, and then it's like he's like, don't you say it usually takes longer to like download the image and then send it to me and me to download it to look at it?
Yeah. Normally, when I'm doing pages, I send it to a guy in Brazil that puts on flat colors, and then I get the pages back, change the colors, and about 3 minutes later I got a page. So Danny is so good at technology that it is literally faster.
I was almost like, that's right.
So I can literally color a page, and it takes him longer to download it and look at it than it does for me to color.
I got to go to the library to get proper Wi-Fi service.
That's awesome.
I can attest to this with just getting him on Discord to do this interview, and now you are part of the Roll Initiative Discord.
Yeah,
that you invited, and I were a part of before you.
I appreciate you for inviting me.
I actually invited you. Yeah, to your
you invited Discord. Me in. You're like, hey, buddy, have you read this book yet? And I was like, yeah, I think so.
That's brilliant. That's great.
I say, me and technology go together like toothpaste and orange juice. It's not a. It's not a good book.
Gross. Yeah,
it's how it is.
Yeah,
it's fitting.
I'll say doing like the stat blocks thing. It's amazing. Just like hearing about stuff like that, you're like, I don't know if anybody would actually use this. And that's kind of my first instinct. But, I listened to a Star Wars, podcast. So we had the guy on here, Silhouette Zero, podcast, and he put up the stat blocks to a lot of his characters. And those characters made their way into my home game as cameo appearances.
That's awesome. Yeah. I mean, it's a fleshed out character. So
yeah. And my wife didn't even listen to the podcast. So she didn't know who I was referencing, but it was fun for me.
Yeah.
And they will, Steven, they will appear in our campaign as well.
I'm thinking about going to like the farthest parsec I could find, just like setting up some kind of small drug running ring and just retiring Captain Snatch.
But it is amazing. even when you're like looking for NPCs and you're like, well, I really like that Essen character. I need a female wizard. So let's throw her in.
Well, you know, I'll do that with my players. I'll be like, okay, so, I like throw out a movie plot basically, and I'll name some of the main characters, and like gets zero reaction from most of the kid. They're like 19 and younger, and then there's my buddy Paul who's older, so he'll nod, be like, I get that reference, but they're like, all right, who's that? And I'm like, all right, cool, you're in for a fun story that you're gonna think I wrote, so here we go.
Perfect.
Yeah, like one of the campaigns for a little bit was basically Stardust by Neil Gaiman.
Oh, book is great. That book,
oh, yeah,
that
it's book so good. Would be I was a like,
great campaign.
There's a prince named Octavia, and they're like, all right. And I'm like, he has seven brothers. And they're like, oh, okay. I was like, all right, here we go. So anyway.
Somebody should make that into a D&D
Well, it module. Sounds like somebody already has.
Yeah, well, yeah.
It sounds like you should actually go back and put all that together. And just
yeah, but I'd like put a little twist on, like they're looking for the Gem of Kings, and there's actually a bird trapped in a cage by a witch. That blew their mind. They're like, holy shit, it's Una! It's the one! I was like... So we're actually past the point where I could tell them that it was not me who came up with that story, but I'm gonna let them figure that out, you know, on their own.
You're gonna just
live in that spotlight for a little bit longer. Appreciate it.
Yeah. I don't blame you.
Yeah,
if you could be Neil Gaiman for a day, you know, or a week, or a year.
My British
one day they're gonna come up and say, "Do you know that Neil Gaiman stole your idea?"
Right. Yeah.
Oh. And even before they say it, they're going to get on Twitter and just straight up tag him.
Old guy from England.
Dude, you don't even know what you're talking about.
Yeah, you don't even play D&D.
So our next one's about these about death. Okay, so it's going to be really original.
That's awesome.
Oh, gosh, man.
So we originally started to put on with Kickstarter.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
So I
just want to say I'm looking forward to collecting issue 1 and 2, and having a nice big graphic novel sit in front of me that I can read, flip through, and look at all the art. Can't wait personally for that,
dude. I'm with you, and I have had no artistic input on this at all. Like, I'm excited about it. I actually am, and I you know, it's funny. I posted an unpacking video on Facebook.
Yeah, it was great.
It was great. Thank you, but it wasn't, because I realized after watching it again, because I'm vain, that that my son said, like, "Who are these people?" I was like, "Oh yeah, oh crap!"
Sir Finn?
I've been reading this. Yeah, it was Finn. Yeah, I was like, I've been reading this all along, and like have kept it from my, and not because like. Not because of any other reason than I'm just like, I'm looking at it on my phone. I'm like, I just didn't even think about it. I'm like, wait. So as soon as that video, I watched it, I was like, oh, crap. This makes me look like a bad dad.
Ruby was like, is Tata?
Yeah, exactly. I thought that too. But yeah, that's like, I was like, oh, this is the worst unpacking video ever. But
I loved it, Doug. It was, I mean,
dude,
dude.
We love getting in the mail, and I feel bad that so after that, I sat my kids down on the couch and I gave my son my phone, and I was like, read the comic from start to finish. Here you go. And so he really enjoyed it. I'm looking forward though to like getting the actual physical comic.
Yeah,
so
hopefully if we can hit the tiers and we can get, so Kickstarters are kind of fickle. You almost have to line up your backers and be like, hey, get ready. If you plan to back, get ready. And then do it all that first day, because if you do that, then other people see it and they're like, oh, it's weird. But people are like, oh, people believe in this. I believe in it too. Yeah. And then they'll donate. So if you get them all kind of lined up at the beginning, I'm hoping maybe we can have the third issue done too. And it's going to be a big size. First issue is like 42 pages ish, something. And the second issue is like 24, which is more of a standard size for a regular comic book, but right. The third issue to be, you know, pretty big. It's going to have a lot of meat to it. But if we hit our tiers and we go over our levels or whatever, then maybe we can, you know, have enough to get the third one printed.
Wait,
as well.
So you're going to do all of them as one, as like one large, like comic 1, 2, and 3 in like a larger form?
I don't know.
Or are you going to do them individually?
I don't know. Peyton, what do you think?
I would like to do at least 1 and 2 in the same thing.
Big old chunky boy. We like.
I've been dragging Danny into this Kickstarter webtoon thing kicking and screaming. That's
just awesome. I would have never have looked at it if Peyton had to show me.
But there's a webcomic I like a lot called Scurry. And it's kind of Secret of Nim type stuff.
Yeah, sweet.
Oh, nice. I'm going to look for that for sure.
And he kind of has the same model where he releases so much on the web. And then when he has enough pages, he does a Kickstarter and collects it onto this nice hardcover edition.
Okay. And so are you kind of leaning into that then?
That's what I would like to do because they're a little bit bigger than a normal graphic novel. But
that's more satisfying, right?
It's gorgeous. It's more like coffee table book size.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
That's and what I want.
They're gorgeous.
So how many? Okay. So let's talk the Kickstarter then, because that's exciting to me. So like to how do you line up Kickstarter? Like, how do you do that? What you were talking about, like kind of needing to get kind of prior support. Like, how do you express that to your followers?
Like we have some people on our Facebook page, the Roll Initiative webcomic on Facebook, but we don't, you know, however many people see it there, put it there, share it, just get it out. Basically be annoying for the month or so before we put it out and just cram it down people's throats. Let them see it. If they want to support it, they're able to, you know, that it, and express how much you appreciate it and, you know, how much it helps to get that early on push and make a splash.
I haven't talked to Danny about this yet, so...
So you probably need to confer with each other.
Yeah, but
he's like, those are terrible ideas, and you're an
idiot. No, we're making the decision now, all four of us, as it should be.
I would like to do some kind of early bird something for the patrons.
Terrible, hate it.
Like, I don't know.
No, go ahead.
Like a discount or something on one of the tiers, or I don't know. This is something me and Danny will work out. But I was thinking some kind of early bird special for our patrons.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do like the idea of the patrons having kind of feeling, you know, like special. Like,
well, because that's what I was looking up. Y'all have quite a few patrons. So I was just thinking, like, those are the people that are more likely to be your kind of the vanguard of the Kickstarter.
Exactly. That is a great synopsis of our patrons. I love that. The tip of the spear.
The tip of the spear.
The head of the sword. Crack of my ass.
The fulcrum of the lever.
Wow.
Okay, I'm stretching it.
That became so unepic right away.
I'm sorry. All right.
I plan on advertising it at the end of the Webtoon chapters too for those people.
You've gotten a pretty. How many followers do you have on Webtoons now?
A lot.
Yeah.
I was just on that page too.
I was trying to.
I think we got like 400 something. What is it? Once we get 1,000, then we get.
Yeah, we need to hit 1,000.
Okay. Well, we're definitely going to link that in our show notes, but because people don't always click on the show notes, it is webtoons.com. And search for Roll Initiative there.
Yeah, Roll Initiative webcomic. I believe that helps a little.
Roll Initiative webcomic is an easy Google search that's going to get you there. Y'all are very active on the Facebook page. You're always putting up sketches, different frames. Whenever the full page is out, you know, they link there. And so check it out on Facebook. And
Facebook's kind of the public way, the easiest way for us to get most of the information out. And we'll release like some, you know, time-lapse videos and stuff. And, but we'll try to do little snippets and then have the, you know, the full thing, pencil and ink and the colors and everything on the Patreon. So that way you kind of get a little bit of a taste for it. And then you can see what the things of the Patreon.
Yeah. We're drug dealers.
I go to schoolyards. I'm like, hey kid, check out this video. They're like, what? That's only 9 seconds.
Yeah, I don't know why you would do that. That's really horrible. And just a reminder, I'm going to be recording our special podcast episode for our patrons at patreon.com/technofunkboy. So,
man.
Yeah.
But
y'all are definitely on Patreon as well. Yeah. And
And I want to say
a lot of cool bonuses there.
Recently, like I was saying, I was trying to think of the full story. Well, you got to have the bad guy, and there's a bit of a glimpse of it at the end of the first issue, and you can kind of see her for a few panels or so. But I'm really excited about her. I want her to be, or it to be.
Yeah, you already said her.
Oh no!
Yeah,
you can't take it back now.
Dang it! No take backs. But yeah, I want her to be like kind of relatable, you know, like a Wilson Fisk or. Even, you know, a Thanos to where you're like, yeah, I feel you, buddy. Like, have a reason, not like a Sauron type. I am evil, and I want to destroy. That's, you know, kind of boring. No disrespect, JK, little Tolkien, but...
Yeah, be careful, bro.
I was like,
be
what?
Careful.
You're wandering into dangerous territory now.
Yeah, and so I shall not pass any further through that conversation.
Shall not pass. No, but that's really awesome.
Those frames at the end of issue one when that happens are very cool. Just everything about it. The images, the colors are great in it, and definitely leaves me wanting to know what's going to happen next.
Well, that's kind of what we're hoping for. Just we don't want it to be, I don't want it to be rushed, you know, like I want it to take time with it. And I've actually heard someone on the internet they're like, God, it's already 20 something pages. That's too long. Blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, a couple weeks ago, I told Peyton, I'm like, okay, I did the outline. It's going to be like 30 issues. And you sent a GIF, and when you did, I was like, oh, yeah, it's a little girl doing a happy dance. But I didn't know if it was a sarcastic happy dance or if you're excited. I took it as
highly sarcastic.
Oh, damn.
It was highly sarcastic.
Oh, man, was it obviously sarcastic?
No, probably not.
I'm pretty bad at that. Well, I'm still going to take it as really excited, so yeah.
I was just really tired that day, and I didn't feel like typing out a message.
No, and that's the kind of stuff I prefer, and Danny, you know, like you're running a 3-year campaign, and doing stuff like that, you start seeing the benefits of like letting things linger. Or fester,
exactly.
In the case of villains, and letting it weigh on people, and I'm trying to do that in the Star Wars game too. Is setting up some characters that the PCs love to hate just because it gets them wondering what's okay. Is this person going to be a bad guy? Is this person going to be a good guy?
Right.
You know.
And then you get a character that. Is bad, but you're like, man, it'd be cool if he wasn't. And then he makes that choice, or she makes that choice, and you're like, that's cool.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that kind of length of a story allows you to do cool stuff like that.
I want to have
a short story. You just don't have time to do it.
Like, I love Supernatural. I think Peyton probably turned me on to that too, and I was like, all right, I'll check it out. But I love their pacing and their plot, like the way their story is written out, because it's the main overarching story. Then you got the episodic little bits and pieces where it's like not really relevant to the story, maybe the last 5 minutes or so. And then every once in a while, there's one's like, oh, this is about the main story. It's going to progress the main story. And then they do. And then it's like, oh, episodic fun stuff, you know, and they kind of go through. But that's kind of the way I would like to do it. And they've been on for 14 seasons, so it might take us a while to do it if we do it that way. But what else am I going to do, you know?
Well, what you're doing now is working. What y'all are doing now is working. It's really grabbed me.
And hopefully it always stays fun for me to draw and write and for Peyton to letter and color and for everyone to read and enjoy, because that's what it's about.
Yeah. Yeah. So we are, as far as the episode goes, running out of time. And so I really do appreciate y'all being on.
Y'all as well.
And for Peyton, this was like literally last minute. And so that was really awesome that you were able to join us.
I was like, wait, does that mean he's in here? And you're like, yeah, awesome.
Yeah,
glad I can make it.
And so, so very, very cool. So roll initiative. I was thoroughly impressed with the first issue, and Steven made me read it. I'm like, okay, yeah, we're gonna interview this guy, whatever. But it's very, very cool. I'm pumped about issue two.
Awesome, yeah. And like I said, first issue was kind of finding our feet. Well, at least me, at least. Peyton's usually pretty spot on with all its coloring. So, but second issue and on is gonna be better and better as we go. I'm pumped about it. Like, I'm super excited to do it. Like, and I hope people are to read it as well.
Yeah, for sure.
Definitely. I definitely am. And it's been, like I said, it's been fun to watch it happen as it's happening, you know, kind of like as y'all release. So, and it's been great to, like, it's like with fun to look forward to it.
And you never know, like, there's so many rehashed ideas going around. Like, I'm using air quotes right now, guys, but like in Hollywood, which I don't know why, because Hollywood is actually a place. Anyway,
it's actually an air quote itself.
So you never know, you know, just get that original idea. And most of the stories that are now picked up have a comic book, you know, origin. Like, I haven't seen it yet because we don't have Netflix or anything. We just have a wall of DVDs, but I hear The Boys is really good. And that was a comic book. Like, all these, you know, they're just stories, you know. It's sequential art to tell a story. That is ingrained into human society since cave drawings. Like, what'd you do today? Well, let me show you. I killed this thing. Wow, that's a great story.
You don't think they were like, you don't think they were like, dude, you don't draw buffaloes very good.
No, it was Rob Liefeld, and there's like bushes.
No, they were telling them to put a background.
So what, were you fighting buffalo in space? I don't understand.
They probably at that time there was no lizard
around. What was?
They just killed the dude. They were like, "Don't tell us about a background."
His blood spatter from his face being smashed onto the wall. He's like, hey, sunset.
Oh, very awesome. Good. All right. Well, we'll have the links in the show notes page, but just, you know. Roll Initiative webcomic, it will find it.
Yeah, we're on Facebook. You can find us there. Roll Initiative webcomic, Webtoons, Patreon, and also, like I said, on Facebook. And we might be making Instagram soon. I don't know. Maybe.
Very good. So we'll be watching out for the Kickstarter as well, and very excited about it. So thank y'all both for being on.
Well, thank you, guys. Problem.
Appreciate you.
To you by the Technopunk Boy. Follow us on Twitter at Technopunk Boy, on Facebook at the Technopunk Boy, and sign up for our email list at technopunkboy.com. Also look for us on Spotify, iTunes, and Amazon for music. If you are so inclined, please leave us a 5-star rating and review on your favorite podcast catcher. If you are not so inclined, you are obviously some sort of villain trying to conquer the world. Unowned music and new play clips are used for educational and critical purposes. Thank you for listening. Keep gaming. And once you have responsibilities that need to be done at this time, then you can game later.